Hey, because it's Thanksgiving, I wanted to take some time this morning and kind of go through some things that Thanksgiving or the giving of thanks really means in the scriptures. What does Thanksgiving produce, and what is it, and how do we do it? I mean, these are things that you might think are elementary, but the Bible speaks much about the giving of thanks, or thanksgiving. And it's important for us to know what it means and to exercise it regularly, continuously. The Bible is clear that a process of thanksgiving should always be working through us. We should always have a thankful heart. We should always be thankful to God. You know, every day you wake up, you should give thanks to God. I mean, he's given you life and another day to live. And the hope is, of course, you will make the most of it. And this is kind of the essence of what Thanksgiving does. It's making the most of our lives as Christians. So it's not just something we are supposed to be about or should be about. It really is one of the main purposes that we are here on earth still. And what it does in the lives of others when we are thankful is really huge. It's a giant thing that happens in this world when people are thankful. And it's very interesting to me that the Bible speaks so many places about Thanksgiving. I'm not going to take them all in because there's just so much the Bible says about Thanksgiving. So I just decided I was going to take seven things that the Bible declares about Thanksgiving. Seven is, of course, the number of completion in the Bible. So we're not going to completely cover Thanksgiving, but we are for today. We're going to be completely immersed in this idea, this area of Thanksgiving. So the seven things, if you're a note taker, the seven things that you will see develop in our study today is what Thanksgiving is. And if you just finish the statement, Thanksgiving is the answer for an anxious heart, number one. Secondly, Thanksgiving always accompanies peace. Number three, Thanksgiving is the answer for suffering and death. These are big topics. Thanksgiving is, number four, satisfying. Number five, Thanksgiving is God's will. Number six, Thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks, magnifies God. And then finally, number seven, Thanksgiving is to be done always and for everything. So we're going to take a look at the scriptures that point to these things. By the way, there's many other things, again, you can look at in scripture and find Thanksgiving represents. One of the things I think is so important to remember is that Thanksgiving is really an evidence of the Spirit within me. And we'll look at that in more detail. The first thing, though, let's jump right into the Thanksgiving being the answer for an anxious heart. You know, our culture, our society deals with anxiety. Have you noticed that? I think the pharmaceuticals are making a fortune off of anxiety. You? It's one of the most highly prescribed medications, anxiety medication is, in our culture today. So there's a lot of people that are anxious, which means it can mean worried. It can mean, kind of anticipating something that's going to happen and you're concerned about it. I like the definition I learned years ago, and that is anxious, being anxious has the sensation of being pulled somewhere you don't want to go. So imagine this was a cliff and you're just being dragged towards the edge of the cliff and you don't want to go. That's the definition, the sense of being anxious. It's like, where am I going? I don't want to go there. But I'm being pulled there. Like I'm being dragged along. And so anxiety is very real. And let me just say this, anxiety is overrated. So you don't want to be anxious. And we find that in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. But he goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with, here it is, thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Okay, so there it is. Thanksgiving is one of the things that will aid you, help you in not being anxious or filled with anxiety, worry. Some people, I think, practice worrying. Have you ever met somebody that's very good at worrying? It's like, you really practice a lot, I think, because you just know how to worry about everything. And they take the opposite stance of what this verse really teaches us, in that they are anxious about everything rather than being anxious for nothing. And that's a problem. Our society is so filled with this, but I'm convinced the reason that our culture is so anxious, filled with anxiety, is because of the unthankful condition of our culture and society. I've never seen so many unthankful people as I see in the world today. Ungrateful, unthankful, and I'm just here to say that creates anxiety. God's giving us the remedy here, in that if we would be thankful, the anxiety would cease. And I think it's important. People don't want God in our culture, I've found, more and more. We're seeing less and less of God being appreciated, acknowledged, or given thanks to. I had a discussion with one of our tour guides in one of the Israel trips we took, and he was a great guy. His name was Eitan, and he was an atheist by his own definition. And we were discussing that, as you might guess. I was in many discussions with him about that. But one of the things he finally confessed to me was this. He said, there's a couple of problems with being an atheist. And I said, oh yeah, there are definitely a couple of problems with that. But he said, here's my dilemma. Here's my problem in being an atheist. He said, first of all, there is no one to thank. So it's hard to be thankful, because who do you thank and for what? I mean, it was a dilemma for him. And he did not have anyone to worship. So I ended up calling him later on during the trip. I said, you're a struggling atheist. And do you know what a struggling atheist needs to do? Get born again. You need to just receive Christ, you know. And we went back and forth. But the point is, he was right. Who are you going to be thankful to if you don't believe in God? There's no need to give thanks, because who are you thanking? But our culture is so ungodly and unthankful that anxiety, anxiousness, has taken over. And a person's life who is in that condition will be anxious, will have anxiety. They will worry about things because there's so much uncertainty in life. But when we trust in God and thank Him for everything we have, then it really gives Him the opportunity. It allows Him to put the rest and the peace in our hearts that we're longing for. It gives Him an open door. So thankfulness, or saying, thank you, God, really is a door opening in your life for God to say, ah, now I can give you this rest you're looking for, and you won't be anxious. You won't be overcome with anxiety. You'll be overcome with peace, which is what Paul goes on to say here In verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ." It's the second point that I was going to make, that thanksgiving always accompanies peace. So if you can't be thankful, you can't have peace. If you avoid thankfulness, then you're avoiding peace. Because Paul says here, they kind of go together. You know, you can have anxiety and worry very easily. I find it's very easy to come by. Peace is not so easy to come by for people. People I ask, even that aren't walking with the Lord, I'll ask them, what is it that you feel like you need in your life? And many times people will say to me, "I want peace." And I'll have to tell them, you know what, you have to go see the one who owns all the peace. Who's that? He's the Prince of Peace. Which means, Prince of Peace means the originator or the author. It's Jesus who is the Prince of Peace. So if you want peace in this life, you have to go see Jesus. Because he owns all the peace, and say, "Can I have some of that peace?" And he'll say, "Sure. I can give you the peace. You give me your heart, right? Trust me with your life, and I will give you peace." So this idea of being thankful always is accompanied by peace. All that God has done, man, just thank him for it. Another scripture, just over a few pages from Philippians 4, is Colossians 3. And this is what Paul says in that letter, verse 15 of Colossians 3, just on this idea of how thanksgiving is always an accompaniment to peace. He says in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And," here it is, "be ye thankful." He goes on in verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace," or your Bible might say, "thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord." So again, this idea of thankfulness and peace are woven together. I want peace, people say. Good. Be thankful to God. Start thanking him all the time, just giving thanks. It will change your perspective. It changes what God is able to do in your heart and in your life, in that place that you go, perhaps, that is filled with anxiety and distress. People go to those places. You know that? Do you know that place? Anybody else know where that is? Anybody ever lived there? Like, you just put down your address form. Yeah, Anxiety Central. That's where I live. Just come see me, why don't you? I live right there in the midst of anxious court, right? I'm just right there. That's where I live. Well, many people do, and they don't know where to go to get out of this. I'm convinced some people are really there. I'm convinced other people know where to go to get out of there. They just won't. So if you've been there, or you've been camping out there, or living there, I just want to tell you, this is how you get out of there. You want to change the address of where you live, and you don't want to live in Anxiety Lane or wherever. So number three, I'm going to move through as quick as I can here. But you should have chosen four things then, not 7 points. I know how you think. You're thinking, why did you do 7 points then? I mean, what's the problem with this guy? Well, there's many. There's lots of problems with this guy. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Number three, it's the answer for suffering and death. Now, the reason I'm covering these areas first is because these are areas that are important to us. And I think we probably just need to cover those first so that you're not wondering when we're going to get to that. Like, how does this affect me? Well, these are all things that affect us. The second part of this discussion will be about how it affects God. But for now, let's just stick to it's all about us. And how I feel and how I'm doing with this. But it is the answer for suffering and even death. This is a big important point, obviously. Suffering and pain and sorrow and distress are all things that everybody can relate to some degree or another. The whole death issue is going to come for everybody. Everybody has to dance that dance, amen? We all have to go there. So it's a cause for distress in people's life. It's a cause for anxiety, perhaps, for people. But here's the answer for it. So Paul, and you can turn or jot it down, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul at the end of that letter to the Corinthians writes this, beginning with verse 54. So he says, so when this corruptible, this body that's corrupted, that's messed up, that's sick, it has problems, shall have put on incorruption, that is that which is whole and not sick anymore, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, eternal life being the discussion here, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, verse 55, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There's a sting associated with death. Everybody can relate to that. Paul was one who dealt with not only his own death impending, which he was beheaded, as you recall, martyred for his faith, but he also suffered greatly in his life physically. I don't know of another apostle in Scripture that went through the extent of suffering that Paul did. And yet we see Paul was used perhaps more powerfully than any of the other apostles, but he suffered greatly. I mean, I don't think we quite understand, you know, the extent of Paul's suffering. He does explain it at one point where he describes how much he suffered, and it was a rather intense discussion. Many believe he was actually stoned to death at one point outside of Lystra, where they just killed him. And he went to heaven and came back and got back up and went back into Lystra and preached some more. But the point is, Paul suffered. He understood what suffering and even death was like and what it all felt like. What does that feel like? Well, it hurts. Anybody else relate to the fact that life hurts? It's painful. You know, pain is involved with life. And of course, the older you get, the more that is a reality that is daily. If you're still young, bless your heart. But you've got something to look forward to. Something's coming for you. But he goes on, watch this now. He says, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But watch this now, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm thanking God. For Paul, you're talking about the sting of death here. You're talking about suffering and pain. You're talking about all those things that cause anxiety and pressure and distress. So you're thanking God for that? Yes. Paul said in his discussion to the Corinthians at another point, he was saying, hey, look, even though I am struggling in the flesh, my body is, I'm rejoicing in what God's doing. So he was thankful even for pain? Yeah. Now this is I call this a big boy understanding, or for you girls, big girl understanding. In other words, you put your big boy pants on for this one, but you get to a point in your life where you can finally say, I'm giving thanks to God for this. But you're in pain, I know. But that didn't work out, I know. That fell apart right before, I know. I'm so thankful that God was with me through that. See, that's a maturity level that we come to through struggles and trials and continuing to give God glory and thanks in the midst of that. Paul was a champion at this, wasn't he? Just everything that happened. He's like Josh Tanner. Thanks to Jesus, you know. I went through that. Thanks to Jesus. What? Do you know Josh Tanner, Paul? Because I think he's a lot like you. The point is that this is just how he responded to adversity. And what I'm saying to you is this, through the thanksgiving of his heart being poured out, thank you, Lord, for that suffering. It's growing me up. Paul heard from the Lord at one point, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay, so I guess I should just rejoice in this, Paul says. Yep. Just might as well make the best of it. And again, if you want to look at thanksgiving in just a parenthesis around it, it's making the most of life. Thanksgiving will help you make the most of your life. Paul was not free from troubles and pain or even death. But thanks be to God, he says. Because even in that, God's given me victory. So where's the sting then of death and pain and sorrow? Where is it? Well, it's swallowed up, he said. Swallowed up in what God can do in my heart. But I'm just going to tell you, it's hard for the Lord, even for God, to get through to us and give us a place of elevated peace and joy and rest without being thankful. It's a limiting of his ability to move in our life. That's why the Bible's so full of thankfulness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Why? Because the person saying it, whether it's David in the Psalms or whether it's the Apostle Paul, the person saying it knows I'm opening the door. I'm opening the way for you to come in and give me the peace I'm looking for, to give me the joy I'm needing, to relieve me of this sting, this pain. It's the answer, folks, for suffering. Start thanking God. Well, I'm not thankful for this thing. You can't make me be thankful for this. Nope, I can't. I can't. Nobody can make you be thankful for it, whatever it is that you refuse to be thankful about. What I'm telling you is if you will change your mind about how things work in this life, and that God is not out to get you. He's not a cosmic killjoy trying to just ruin your day. And no matter what's happening in your day, in your life, he is there to give you peace, joy, rest, life, grace, mercy. That's what he's there for. Well, okay then. That's what I'm after. That's what I want. Start thanking him. Start giving him thanks. Even in that. Especially in that, maybe. Good to thank him for everything. But especially those things that you might find difficult to give him thanks in. See, because I'm not hearing Paul here say, oh, Lord, thanks for giving me such a cush ministry. Thanks for giving me such an easy way. Paul didn't know what an easy way looked like. His entire ministry was riddled with pain and suffering, constantly. He was up against adversity every day of his ministry. Beaten, turned on, ran out of town. Shipwrecked a couple of different times. The guy just was going through it constantly, bitten by snakes. Just imagine Paul's life and then realize he's the most thankful guy you'd ever want to meet. So being thankful is not equated with circumstance. What it's equated to is a condition of the heart, the way I think. I think I'm going to be thankful about this. Okay, and I'm just going to start doing that. Thank you. I'm just going to start praising God with my mouth. I have lips and a tongue and a mouth. I can let the fruit of my lips be praise and thanks, or not. but it's up to me. And then it is determined by then how much of these things that I'm going through are blessed and relieved because God is so faithful to enter into that place with me. So it's an answer for anxious heart, accompanies peace. It's the answer for suffering and even death. Number four, get this. Thanksgiving is satisfying. What do you mean by that? Giving thanks is satisfying. Let's go back to Psalm 107 for a minute, or you can, again, you can jot these things down. Psalm 107, one of my favorite psalms, actually, talks about men that go down to the sea in ships and do business in deep water. I like that. But the psalm begins with verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Give thanks to God. Period. And then watch what he goes on to say down in verse 8. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For watch, for he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Giving thanks to God is satisfying. God satisfies my soul when I thank him. It means so much to God to be thanked. Remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? Remember there was 10 lepers at one point in the Gospels, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus, he healed them all. And they all ran off to show themselves to the priest because they had never seen anything like that. And then one of the lepers turned around and came back and worshiped Jesus and thanked him. And Jesus made note of it. He said, "Were there not 10 lepers healed? And yet this one came back to thank me." Isn't that interesting? I mean, he made mention of it because it mattered to him. It made a difference. Jesus said, Do you ever wonder what God is doing when he looks down at this earth and the people he created and the life he gave to them and the blessings he pours out upon them every day? He rains on the just and the unjust. He gives breath and life to everyone. All the things he does. Do you ever wonder he's up there just pouring out these blessings and here people are just cursing him and not grateful for any of it? Do you think that matters to God? Believe it does. And I believe also there's a whole society, culture we're living in that is dissatisfied. No satisfaction. The Rolling Stones had that right. Right? Can't get no satisfaction. True. True as it could ever be. In this world, you cannot be satisfied. You can't find contentment. You can't find fulfillment apart from the things God says you can find it in. Well, how do I get that satisfaction? How do I get that contentment for my longing soul, for my hungry soul? Give thanks to God. Start thanking him. There's just something about it. When we sing, you know, "Thank you, Lord." When we praise him, oh, there's, like we sang, "There's none like you. You're the Holy One. You're the righteous one. Oh, we just love you and thank you." There's something very satisfying about that. Why? Because God sees to it. We were made for that. We were created for his good pleasure. We were created to worship God. So when we give him thanks and praise, which is very similar in relation to what we give to God, we can enter into his courts, right, with praise. We can enter into his gates with thanksgiving. They're both connected, praise and thanksgiving. If you see praise, it means, in a sense, thanksgiving, and vice versa. But the point is, we have this contentment and satisfaction within us when we know we're doing what God likes. He sees to it that I receive satisfaction in my heart and in my soul. I'll tell you something. I've been unthankful and I've been thankful. You? Anybody else? One person. I've been both. There have been whole seasons of my life where I was unthankful, ungrateful. And I was the most miserable during that time of my life. There's just, and again, people say, well, so God made you that way? I mean, he made you so you couldn't be satisfied and content and you had to be miserable? No, he just allows it to be. It's how he made me. And thus, if he tells me, here's how I made you. Satisfaction comes through giving me thanks and praise. You were created for my good pleasure. Give me good pleasure, you're going to be satisfied. Do this other plan over here that you want to do, and there's no satisfaction there. There's no joy there. There's no peace there. So if that's where you're going, then have at it, but there's nothing there. God sees to it that his word, what it declares, will be fulfilled in my life if I will do it. We used to say, look, if you do what God says, then God will do what he says. People say, well, I read this in the Bible. So this is a promise from God, right? Yeah. But there's other things in the Bible that say you need to follow after him and trust him and obey him. And if those things be so, then these things be so. But people want what God has to offer without being in this two-way relationship with him where they're actually engaged in their part. My part, be thankful. Give thanks to God, and he will satisfy the longing of my soul and fill the hunger in my soul. Whew. I don't know about you, that just resonates with me. There's longings in us, desperate longings for some of us. We want to be filled. We want to be satisfied. We want to be content. And God is telling us, this is how it works. I can satisfy you. Give thanks to me. It's a whole different deal on Thanksgiving, you say. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down to eat turkey, you know, this week, thank God for it. Anybody else thank God for food? I do. I'm thankful for food. And it's good to give thanks at meals and all that, but this is obviously, as we go through these, this is a lifestyle, isn't it? It's a daily living this out. When you get up, man, it's a good idea just to get up in the morning and say, thank you, God. Just thank you. For all the things I didn't thank you for yesterday, thank you. Whew, because you were good, because I'm awake in the morning. Now, if you could just help me get out of this bed, there'll be more praise coming your way, right? Some of you people are too young to laugh at that. Some are just saying, yeah. Number five. Now we switch into more of what it means to God, not just what it means to us. Oh, yeah, I want to be free from anxiety. Yes, I want peace in my life. Yes, I want an answer when I'm suffering, when I'm dying. I want the answer. Yes, indeed, I want to be satisfied. The longing within my soul, I want that satisfied. But number five is the important part of this, really, because in this particular context, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that giving thanks to God is God's will for you. So oftentimes people will say, you know, I'm not sure what God's will is for my heart, for my life. Well, I think we have it right here. In verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There you are. You never have to wonder again what God's will is for your life. Hey, Pastor Matt, what do you think God's will is for me? Give thanks to him. Every day and everything, give him thanks. That's his will for you. Well, I mean, that's not the whole extent of it, though. There'd be some other things in my life, too, right? Yeah, but this is for sure his will. Sometimes people spend a lot of time trying to decipher what God's will is in vague areas. Like, I wonder if that's God's will. Well, wait a minute. Why don't we just stick with what we do know is God's will? Start here in giving thanks in everything, because that's God's will for you for sure. And then we'll see what else happens. We'll see what develops from there, because I do believe, again, in giving thanks in everything, then God has opportunity to do things in my life that are his will for me. But it starts with his will being giving thanks every day. It means that much to God that it's actually his will for you in Christ that you give thanks. And again, note that it's in everything, not just in a select few things, but in everything. So God's will is tied up in whether or not I give thanks or not. If I'm not giving thanks, then I'm out of God's will. I can be pursuing all kinds of directions in my life, but if I'm not giving thanks, I am not in his will. So that's where I start. That's where we begin every day, you see, in every way. I wonder, you know, what kind of life so many of us would have if we just did this. Just every single day. God, I just want to give thanks. I just want to spend some time giving you thanks. And sit down and think through, maybe even write down. God, I'm giving you thanks for this and for this and for this and for this. Make a list and then just kind of pray over it and pour over it and offer it to God as a blessing for him. I know you've done there's lots of things I'm not even aware that you've done, but I'm just going to think through consciously the things that I have to be thankful for you in doing these great things in my life. I want God's will, you. I want to know what God's will for our lives is. And I will point you to this scripture if you ask me. If you ask me, what do you think, Pastor Matt, God's will? Right here. I think this is it. And something will come of it. Some other direction will come. You know, you used to hear that term, you can't steer a parked car. Remember that? Like, duh. Can't see. You know, and the idea is you got to be moving in order to steer the car, because it just, you can't just go anywhere. It wouldn't turn the wheel, but it's just not going to happen. So the thanksgiving that God is desiring from us towards him, it's like getting the wheels turning in my life. And then he's free to direct. But I think some people are stuck. You ever get stuck? Like you're spiritually stuck, stifled? It may very well be that you have left off this area of giving thanks. So you're stalled out like a car that's not running. You can't drive it. You can't steer it. God's not going to be able to move you in the direction he wants unless you get this thing going, unless you get the wheels turning. Thanksgiving is the thing that gets the wheels moving. It's the will of God presently. I know this is the will of God for me, so I'm gonna give him thanks, and he's going to start to direct me because I've just got the wheels turning. I just cranked this thing over, and now we're starting to move. Now God's free to direct me. So many people, I think, are stuck in a place of ungratefulness and unthankfulness. And they just don't know where to go from here. And it's so simple. It's so easy. to start giving God thanks and praise. Number six, and I'm almost finished here. You say, we heard that before. I don't mean to be a liar when I say that. Number six, important. Giving thanks magnifies God. Jot down or turn to Psalm 69. It's a psalm of David. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote many of the psalms, which are songs that he sang. David was a musician. In fact, he invented instruments, built them himself. He was quite a talented guy. But one of the things that David loved to do was write songs to God. Many of them were written in En-Gedi when he was hiding from Saul. It was many times in the distress of David's life being hunted by the king that he found himself writing songs, which we many times will take and make them praise songs today. We still sing many of these songs of David. In the midst of Psalm 69, and again, understand here that, you know, David is seasoned, we would say. He's seasoned when it comes to trouble and adversity. He had a great deal of that in his younger years before he was the king of Israel. But here's what David says in relation to praising or giving thanks to God. Watch this. Verse 30 of Psalm 69. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify. Now, the first thing you think of is a magnifying glass, right? To magnify something is to make it, well, someone said, you make it bigger. You don't make it bigger, but you make it appear bigger. In other words, I can't change God into a bigger God than he is. But I can make him appear, or I can give him the appearance of being bigger. How? Thanksgiving. When I give thanks to God, it causes him to look bigger. To who? Well, to me, for one. You know, David writing this psalm, he understood the principle of God being the big one in our lives. And anything else is just a midget. It's just a fraction. It's just a smidgen. Like Goliath, when David fought Goliath, the giant, seemed like big, bad Goliath was going to take on everybody. But David, little David, the shepherd boy, he comes on the scene, remember, and says, who do you think you are? Define the true and living God. Who do you think you are? You're going down today, he said. And everybody in the Israeli army at that point was like, this guy's crazy. Right? You're just a kid. What are you going to do? The whole army of Israel was frightened of Goliath. And David saw things differently. And I think this is what he's talking about. He was looking at God. David was. And then looking at Goliath and going, you might want to rethink this. You know, you know who you're fighting against here? We've got God on our side. So his perspective was, hey, God is the big one. You're just a wimp. And he went and defeated Goliath just like that. No problem, no sweat. Cut his head off and carried it around for a while as a trophy. Kind of gross, but this is, I mean, he just was like, no problem. Why? Because David was that big and bad? No, he was little and ruddy, it says. He was just a shepherd kid. Wasn't even full grown yet. Many believe he was about 15 years old when he did that. Just a kid with a big God. What's the deal with you? What's the deal with me, right? Well, I don't have everything I need and don't have everything I'm supposed to have yet, so I can't really do much with serving God or can't do this yet. No, I'm not quite there yet. Really? Because David was like 15, tending sheep, and he took out the most feared warrior in the whole region. And I believe it started when David was just a young boy. We know he was already singing praises to God. Saul, before he even really knew David well, had him brought in because someone said, there's a boy out here that plays music. And it's really soothing. And David would be brought in because Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. And when David would come in and play and sing, the evil spirit in Saul would leave. Interesting. Just as a sidebar, if there's evil stuff, start thanking and singing praises to God. That evil spirit will have to leave. But Saul would be relieved of that evil spirit while David would play. And then when David would leave and later on come back, and Saul would bring David in frequently to do this so that he could be soothed by it. David, at a young age, was already writing and praising God. He was writing songs and singing to him and giving him thanks. And so David understood, if I give thanks to God, it magnifies him, not only in my sight, but in other people's sight. Imagine your thanks towards God and being thankful, period. Just being a thankful, grateful person. What that will mean in other people's life and of their view of you and your God. See, we claim to be Christians. We need to be careful. Because if we're going to claim to be Christians, little Christs is what that means, then we better make sure that we're thankful people. Nothing is worse than an ungrateful Christian. When you go out to eat, listen, you go out to eat and sit in that restaurant and be unthankful and ungrateful and treat your waitress or your waiter like he's second class. Shame on you. Shame on me. You be thankful and show them what that looks like. If the world doesn't see Christians being thankful and grateful, where are they going to see it? And shame on us when there's people in the world that are more grateful and thankful than we are. And show that. If I'm going to claim my Christian heritage in Christ, then I need to be a thankful person. Thank people. Hey, be gracious to people. Have gratitude when someone does something nice. Be giving and forgiving and just be a little like Christ. And what will happen is God will look bigger to people. People will say, so you're one of those Christians, huh? Well, maybe I should come see your God. Because he looks big to me. Your thankful heart is making him look large. I think I want to see some more or know some more about him. It's going to come through your witness. It's going to come through my, and thanksgiving and thankfulness and gratefulness is how people will see God as a bigger, loving God and not be thinking, boy, those people for having this great God of theirs don't seem very thankful for it. Are you thankful that God loves you? Then show it. You thankful and grateful that he hasn't blown you up yet for all your sin and failure? Thank him for it. I do that. Thank you, Lord. that you haven't struck me with lightning yet. Thank you that you're gracious to me. And I can treat this person with kindness and be thankful even for them when they do this or they do, I'm going to thank them. He's not even a Christian. Who cares? James makes a very strong point in his epistle that we better not be guilty of treating people differently based upon who they are. Whether they're rich or poor, or whether they're Christian or not a Christian, we treat them, that person's not even Christian. Who cares what they think? Need to care what they think. Magnifies God. And then finally, number 7, giving thanks to God is to be done always. And again, I brought this up already, for everything. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 20, or jot it down. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always, not some ways, always. And he says, for all things, not some things. So this is to be done always and for everything. So it's all the time, it's every day. It's what I need to be about. It's God's will for me. It's going to make him look bigger, all those things. But this is a lifestyle. Now, what's interesting is Paul here is bringing this up on the heels of another verse, verse 18, that he kind of mentions first before he even goes into this section. But look at verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's qualifying this area of giving thanks always in everything. So get this down. To give thanks always in everything, not just an occasional thanks, not just an occasional, oh yeah, I'm giving thanks for this, but certainly not thanking God for that, and not that, but to be giving thanks always in everything requires you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or you might pull it off once in a while. Here and there, you might be able to say thanks here and there, but to do it always in everything, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's just a prayer you need to pray today. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, don't like this message. I was going to say thanks on Thanksgiving. Does he think he is? I mean, button in. I say thanks when I feel like it. Okay. I'm just telling you, miserable person, that you are. God deserves better than that. I'm sorry. He deserves more than that. And Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and you will give thanks. Always, in everything. Because the Spirit within, if the Holy Spirit's filling me up, I'm full of the Spirit of God, then there will be nothing coming off my tongue, rolling off my lips, except for, thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And this, and them. Thank you for all of it. That requires a filling of the Holy Spirit. You can't pull that off. I mean, you might try, but you know the difference, right? You know, okay, I don't mean it. Thank God for this, but I wasn't really serious about that. You know, I know it's the right thing to say. So, like, God knows the difference, doesn't he? I mean, he knows, right, when you're just saying thanks and you don't even mean it. You say, well, who does that? Oh, I bet you do. I bet I do. I bet we all do sometimes. I bet when we're singing songs of praise, you know, in this church, maybe this morning, thank you, Lord, and oh, we praise you, and you're worthy to be praised, and all these things, and you're really not thanking him and praising him. We discourage that because it's phony. But mostly because God doesn't deserve that. At the very least, God deserves our real thanks and real praise. And so sometimes if you just can't, I'm not into this, I just don't feel like praising God and doing that. Okay, fine. In all honesty, it's better for you not to than to give him something that's not real. So we're not about to, hey, everybody should just come on now. You know, some worship services are like, we're going to pump you up. Come on, get it up there. Go, people. And the whole idea is, what's wrong with you people? Why aren't you praising God like we are? Right? Like a guilt trip. You know what? You know what I'm talking about. It's like, come on. And I've been a part of that before. I've seen it. Some friends of mine do that. I have guys that lead worship that I know from years ago. I mean, that's how they do it. They try and get everybody pumped up. And I think, look, man, you might get them on their feet. And you might get their hands lifted. But if it's not like Jeremiah declares, Lord, I lift my heart with my hands, then those hands up don't mean a thing. It has to be here. Lord, I just, as you know, sometimes you just stand there and let tears run down your face. Lord, I just love you. You've been good to me. And it doesn't look like you're pumped up at all. In fact, it looks like you got a flat tire. Right? But it's real. And he deserves real. He never asked for phony stuff. He hasn't asked for it to be conjured up. He wants me to really praise him and really thank him and mean it. And if I do, he's blessed. And listen, when he's blessed and he is getting what he desires from my life, then he fills me with a sense of peace, not letting me become anxious and worried. I'm filled with a different reality. There's an answer in my soul for why I have to go through difficulties, suffering. I'm satisfied deep down inside me. I have a deep, true contentment that God gives when this is happening. And yes, it's important that I experience that, but not near as important as it is to get that other part flowing, which is God's will, and he's magnified, and he's honored, and he's raised up, and I am just exalting him because of his worthiness. He's so worthy of it. And yes, the byproduct is I'm going to be filled and satisfied and all the rest. If I can't give him thanks, I need to ask for him to fill me with his spirit again. If I'm just not a thankful person, I'm miserable, I just need to get on my knees and say, God, fill me with your spirit once again. Amen? Happy Thanksgiving. Come out Thanksgiving, it won't be as intense. You're like, I'm not coming Thanksgiving Eve now. I'm not coming out for that. This was enough. But seriously, come out and just enjoy some time of corporately just thank you, God. And we'll spend time just sharing things that we're thankful to God for. And let's all kind of just let him know how grateful we are for him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks today because you've just been good. How gracious you are. And how out of step we would be if we did not show you our hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving and give you just that praise and worship and adoration. You have been awesome to us. And you deserve the best that we have. So we pray that you would, if we're lacking there, that you would just come even now and fill us afresh with your Spirit. Move out the dark, cruddy stuff that's keeping us in a place of stagnation. And help us, Lord, to just see the importance, even today, again, of giving you thanks and being grateful to you. And as we begin to do that, the wheels will turn and you'll start moving in areas of our life, freeing us up and filling us up, satisfying us, giving us peace instead of letting us be anxious. Lord, you're good and we trust you for that. So we know your word is true, and if we do these things, if we just start pouring out our hearts in thanks and praise, you will do a work in us. May it be true today, perhaps for some that are really in need of just that fresh anointing of your Spirit that will give thanks to God continuously. So we just love you for that. Forgive us when we failed at this, when we're caught up in ourselves. But be glorified. God, be glorified. Be honored, be thanked, be praised. We love you, and we just can't say thank you enough. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.